I thought Sean said.
14 or 17, somewhere around there.
It'll be all yard waste this week.
I heard everybody was out in their yards working.
I know.
Now, the week before that was a mess.
Still got 50 million things to do.
What did I say?
The week before that, it snowed.
The month before that, it was, we filled two dumpsters and had a dumpster.
The county cleaned the creek out that they left debris, and Missy came down and took some pictures.
And Sean was down a month before too. Sean's been down there too to look.
Yeah, and I know Sean's been down there, and Dave's been down there, and I've talked to Lisa on the phone. And so, you know, we would just like for you to get on board with us to see that that is cleaned up in a quick fashion, you know, in an orderly fashion, because it is an eyesore, not only to us right there, but you can see it as you come into the city from the west. And there are several piles that are behind our house that you can't see from any street. But, and we did go to the commissioners' meeting, and they are planning on cleaning it up. But, you know, we're just hoping that's done in a timely manner, so we would appreciate your support on that.
You do, Ellis.
Thank you. So, you know, we'll just, you know, keep in contact with when that'll happen.
I got a question. 404 Westwood, where's that?
Well.
We know where Elizabeth Norton lives. Are you in that area there?
Yeah, Bill Davis lives beside her, and then I live there.
Across the street from Katie.
Yeah.
Across the street from Katie.
I know, I just.
Well, actually, I live in Trudy and Gene Comer's old house, if that helps. And.
We have done two problems down there. I don't understand why we didn't face that up, but I was under pressure we'd go on to.
I will say, as I've said before, there are plans to do some major works. You know, we're looking at a lot of things with our sewage plant and wastewater treatment. They have been very studious about coming in and making sure we're all aware. We've been down, we know. So, you know, again, there's a priority list.
Right.
And you're definitely right up there. As far as, now I'll tell you when, it's difficult.
I understand.
But we are going to address this problem.
Okay. Well, I just, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, we still have those concerns, and we would appreciate you putting that into your agenda for, you know, improvement down there. And, you know, if anybody wants to come down and talk to, like, Conan Wallace and Kathy live down there on the end, and then Buddy and Rosalyn Canada, and Wayne and I live right on that end. It seems like down there in the south, we've gotten it, you know, worse than on the north end, so.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Other concerns?
My name is Rhonda Stanley. My husband Robert Stanley is with me. And for those of us, for those of you that know us, we own Around the Corner Cafe. It's been closed a year now, and it's not going to reopen. We have made the decision to stay closed. We finally, after a year and a half, settled with the insurance company. Haven't gotten the check yet, but it's on its way. So we are in the process of trying to sell the building. We came up this week because we had a sewage issue, which we talked to the board earlier today and got that taken care of. And I don't know if this is a concern or just something I'd like to tell you people. I had a chance to buy my sister's restaurant in Hagerstown when I bought this one. The only reason I bought this one was I loved this city. I loved it as a little girl coming here with my grandmother, and I still love it today. And if I weren't so old and decrepit, I'd open that restaurant again. I loved it, I loved doing it, and I love the people in this town. However, I think there is a small problem here in this town that I hope with new people and a new mayor and some new possibilities of people coming in, it can get straightened out. One of the things that we missed out on so much when we started here was full information on how the city works and utilities work. And that's been part of a problem we've had with the sewer problem. So I would like to see if there's some way, if somebody has a booklet or has a little pamphlet, or if you need somebody to make it up, I'll be glad to do that for you, because I'm just sitting around the house getting fatter anyway since I retired. To give prospective families, as well as prospective small business owners, a complete listing of what they need to do to open a business here, or to move into town and get their utilities turned on, and what school district, and... I don't want to see this city fail like the city I live in. I live in Richmond. You drive down the main street of Richmond, Indiana, and it's a ghost town. It looks worse today than it did after the explosion downtown. And I love this town too much to see that happen here. So I'm offering my services to you. My number's on the window over there if anybody needs anything. Mr. Jones is looking at the building and possibly going to help us try to find somebody to buy it. But if I weren't so old, I'd start over again, but I can't do it. We did it twice. I can't do it the third time. But thank you all for your loyalty and your friendships through the years, and some fights that we had over the years. But it was a pleasure, and I'm going to miss you all a lot. So good luck in what you're trying to do. Build this town back the way it was, because small towns like Winchester and Spartanburg and Lynn and all of those are what built this country. And we need to get our country back, and that needs to start with our small towns. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Further concerns?
I have a concern. My name is Rick Sanders. I am Sanders Service. I'll repair and towing just right over here at 210 North Main. And the old restaurant back there, actually, I think one that she might have even been in at one time, over on Pearl Street, somebody cleaned that out and took all the big debris and leaned it up against my privacy fence in the back. I was just wondering if we could get somebody to make some phone calls to the property owner and ask them if they would come and clean it up, or maybe get the city guys to come by and dump something.
There's a lot of it from the fire too, right?
From the what?
When they had that fire or whatever. No.
No.
No, just...
It's just the old restaurant there on Pearl Street. They closed it, and somebody went in there, and I'm pretty sure it's from inside that building because it matches the same green colored paint that's on the outside of the building.
Yeah. You know who owns it, right?
No.
You know who owns it, though?
Not this time. I talked to Jack Florence because I knew he owned it at one time, and he said he knew who owned it, and he was trying to get it back from him. And he was supposed to, this has been almost 2 months ago, he was supposed to get a hold of the mask and come clean it up. And it's still back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
You got that, Richie?
Mm-hmm. Richie, go down.
Yeah. Yeah, he's taking note on it. Further concerns? There being none, we'll move on and we'll insert trash bids. It has not been opened yet. So I get the liberty, or the council president gets the liberty? The council president.
Not perfect.
You just take them under advisement, and you look at them, and then you come back at the next meeting and decide.
Okay.
We never have in the past. You can if you'd like. I mean, they're a public document now, so they're going to get a copy of it.
Just like there's one bid in here with multiple levels. It looks like it's from Best Way, best I can tell.
So what you do is take those under advisement, and at the next meeting, the trash committee can put the recommendation is.
Okay. Should we invite them to come to answer any questions?
You invite.
Okay.
They have in the past, I'll put it that way.
Do we need a motion on that, Nick?
Yeah, I'd make a motion. Take it under advisement. You guys can look at it.
Make a motion that we take these trash quotes under advisement and address them at our next meeting at the 1st of May.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to take the trash quotes under advisement. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
On that same note, we will have a recommendation from our committee. They're meeting Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. So we've got the bids, we'll know, and so we'll just bring back our recommendation.
On the next council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Next up, the city comprehensive planning presentation. Doesn't look like they've made it today yet, so we'll move on. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Departmental reports. Anybody want to share anything from departments? Yes, Frank?
Beginning the 1st of April, we've hired 6 people to work in the park. And these folks have done an outstanding job. They've battled the elements. If you walk through the park, you may or you may not be able to tell where we've been because there was just so much to be done out there. But I would like to ask the council to consider closing the restrooms at 10 o'clock at night. Just for the simple fact that we went in this morning and to the restrooms, we weren't taking all the toilet paper and stuff down in the school. Causes a big problem. You know, we spent a lot of money out there, about $6,000 on these restrooms alone. So fine, new doors.
Have you brought this to the Parks Board?
Not yet.
Right. Okay.
But, and you see those folks out there working in the park, you know, give them a little word of encouragement, tell them how good a job you've been doing. We appreciate that.
It really does look great out there. I'm not walking to spy on you. I just walk every day at lunch
to
the park.
Well, we have a lot to do out there.
Yeah, and so it really looks great. And I've heard from, I told Sean, Mayor Fireman, I've heard from lots of people who've been, a lot of us girls go over there at different times and walk during lunch, and it really looks nice. You can tell when you're in.
And the amount of people that's out there, I was telling him, Mr. Sean today, that I'm amazed. I went to Sunday, we rode a golf cart out there Sunday evening about 8 o'clock, and there were still people out there, so it's positive, definitely positive. He did a good job.
Good.
Yeah, thank
anyway,
you.
We still have a lot of work to do.
You do.
Hard to tell where we've been, but so much work to do, you know.
Except for that trash brush when you pull in that one side there. Or the trash where all you get all the clippings on the side there.
Oh, yeah.
By the ball park.
We'll get rid of those. We'll get rid of those. It'll take a couple of days.
Yeah, I imagine.
Chief Tucker, do you have anything?
Yeah. As on my monthly report, I just wanted to make you a special note. Part of what I put in the red at the bottom. No, I have not set up a meeting yet with Judge Fry. No book of work. We're having an issue as far as wanting all the ordinances in force, but we've already got him dropping the charges on the site. So, you know, maybe you all can say we're doing it times too. I spoke with the Union City Judge, and she said that she would be willing to accept our violations. Which, I mean, because it doesn't do us a lot of good to spend the manpower to go back 2 or 3 times, go through the warning process, and it's not no compliance when you do the citation when they come in here and get dropped. So, I mean, I'm going to try to resolve it, speaking with him, but if not, then our next issue, the next course we can do will start citing everything over there. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted you aware of that. So.
Chief Moore's been out with the flu for a while. Deputy Chief, do you have anything?
Unless you guys got questions, if you don't get passed out the report.
What'd you say? I don't have any questions. Anybody flinched by the
floor? Hold
that.
Did
they drop
the...
Well, with council's permission, we can go back up to city comprehensive plan. Rondell Ernstberger and Associates. Okay, going back.
I do think they should take the restroom closing to the park board.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's where it's supposed to be.
And I think we should consider that sometimes ball games go past 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And just, you know. Just a thought. Mm-hmm. Maybe till 11.
Okay. Carl?
Something?
You ready?
Good evening. Sorry about running a little bit late. It's our fault, a little miscommunication on our end. Thought it was 7 o'clock, not 6:30, so our fault. Apologize for that. But I'm here, we're here representing Rundell Lawrenceburger Associates, landscape architecture planning firm out of Indianapolis. We're here tonight to talk about the comprehensive plan. We've come over and had a conversation a few times now with Mayor Byram.
Would you mind standing over there? Absolutely. They can hear you too, because they probably want to know.
About the comprehensive plan for the city of Winchester. A little bit about our firm. We started in 1979 in Muncie. We've been in business for about 36 years now, in primarily landscape architecture and planning. And we've done a number of comprehensive plans. I have with me Cynthia Bowen. She is the president-elect of the National APA American Planning Association. She is the director of our planning department for our firm. With that, not to take any more time, I'm going to let her explain a few things.
Okay. Well, thank you for the opportunity. We've come in and talked a little bit with Mayor Byram about the comprehensive plan and where you guys stand. And so we've taken the liberty of putting a scope of work together and wanted to kind of walk you through that. And again, just knowing that we only have 15 minutes and we've already put you behind from our tardiness, I'm not going to go through the handout of the qualifications packet. That just kind of gives you a little bit more overview of what a comprehensive plan is, why it is, which I'll cover at a high level. But then I'm going to spend the time kind of walking through the scope of what we would do. First off, most communities in Indiana have a comprehensive plan. It is under state law. It gives the communities the jurisdiction to have a plan to help you plan out where you need to go over the next 20 years. And you address issues such as what to do with your roads, what to do with any public property that you would own, where you'd want to see housing development, maybe where you want to see future parks or schools, where you may want to have commercial or industrial development, and what type. So the comprehensive plan helps you figure out where those things need to be located. It also then helps the community understand how to allocate its resources based on the priorities. So we walk you through a process, and it's a community-led process. So we're reaching out to business owners, to the public, and asking them their feedback on what they believe the vision for the community should be over the next 20 years. And so from there, we set a vision statement, goals and objectives, and then identify potential projects or policies that need to be changed within the community. And the comprehensive plan is typically the basis, or is always the basis, for zoning within a community. So you have the policy in place, and that kind of backs up then where you need to go and what you need to do with your zoning ordinance. And so anytime you're ever challenged on any type of policy decision that you make, and it goes forth to a court of law, the judge is going to go back and say, well, what was in your comprehensive plan? And if you don't have anything there or in there as a statement, chances are it's going to be thrown out if they're not going to find in your manner. Now, the other way you like to use a comprehensive plan is, you know, the city council put together a budget every year. The comprehensive plan helps you put together a capital improvement plan so you know when we might need to make road improvements. What sidewalk connections do we need to make? What trails do we need to make? Are there improvements that we need to make to the public facility here? So then you can spell those types of things out, and you know then when you need to be planning for them and incorporating that into your city budget. So it serves as a tool to help you do that. So So what we've done is put together a process, and as Carl said, you know, I've been doing this for more than 20 years for communities just like Winchester. As a matter of fact, recently completed one for the city of Greensburg, Indiana, updating their comprehensive plan. And so, you know, we have a pretty good process of how we go about doing this so it's successful and we get engagement. But if you want to turn kind of to the handout that's not spiral bound, and towards the, I think it's probably four pages in, there's a scope of services which I kind of wanted to walk you through because this is the process we utilize. We always start a project when we come into a community, and it's called project initiation, where we talk about having and developing a steering committee. So it should be a very broad-based group of people from the community, business owners, property owners, a city council member, and to others. Police department, fire department are usually good ones. You know, your public works director, those types of things, who then will help guide us through this comprehensive plan. And so we look at forming this steering committee that may meet between 6 and 8 times throughout that process for us to have those conversations. We have a process in there for public engagement. So when we start the process, you know, because I don't live here and I don't know anything, you know, about the community other than what I've done in terms of research, it's really important for us to sit down with key persons within the community. So conducting a couple of days worth of key person interviews where they're coming in and sitting down in a confidential manner that can tell us what are the issues that we should be addressing in this comprehensive plan. What are some of the problems that we might need to address? At times, we also do focus groups where we maybe it's there's a particular topic like transportation or parks that people want to sit down and talk about. You have common people who have this common interest in parks or housing. And so we sit down and talk about, all right, what's going on regarding housing? Where are the problems? What do you want to see doing? So we're beginning to really get a feel for and digging into what is going on. Besides those two things, we also typically will either work with the city and utilize their website or set up a project website. Because, you know, in today's day and age, what we have found is that people are just really busy. And sometimes coming to a public meeting, though, I mean, you guys have a great turnout for your city council, so all right, guys, for being interested citizens. We like to see people come out and tell us what's going on. But, you know, while we try to do everything not to schedule a public meeting when it's church night, when we think there's going to be a lot of school activities, inevitably, you know, something crops up. So then we provide online engagement so that if people cannot be there, they can still provide us input on where we're going. So we typically will have two public meetings within the process, one near the beginning, again, so we can learn more from the public about what the issues the comprehensive plan needs to address. And we can start vetting some of the data that we're going to collect. Census information, market analysis, housing, population, how the population has grown and changed within the community. And so we kind of vet that with them in a process called Where Are We Going? We then have a second meeting, public meeting, later on in the process after we've been working with the steering committee and have come up with some recommendations. So then we have an open house. Whereas, you know, we would take the chairs out of this room and fill the room up with boards and have our staff here and then have the public come in at their leisure for between 2 and 4 hours, depending on what's appropriate. And then they just come in and kind of talk. We usually do some interactive boards and some questionnaires that they can fill out. And again, we do this online as well. So that way we make sure the public is engaged and interested. Because it really doesn't do us any good for us to come into a community and do a comprehensive plan and that you guys are not behind it, that we don't have the public behind it, because it really cannot be a rundown Ernstberger plan. It has to be Winchester's plan. And that's the only way to do it so it's implemented after we're through the process. So we'll go through and look at existing conditions. What's the land use on the ground? What's the state of your transportation network? Are there places where intersections where you might have some accidents? Is there things that we need to specifically look at? So we document those either through both through pictures and through mapping. So it's graphically represented. We will then work through, we'll do a market analysis. So again, we understand what kind of businesses we need and what we could attract to Winchester. Where are the gaps in the economy? And so we will complete a market analysis. And then we move on to the visioning component. And this is where we work with the steering committee to really identify that 20-year vision. What should it be? Where should it go? So that comes from, you know, what we've heard from the public. It comes from the focus group meetings. It comes from the steering committee. And we work our way through that and then develop goals and objectives that would support that vision. From there, we end up developing land use recommendations. So we'll develop a future land use plan that says this is how we want our community to grow over the next 20 years, where specific land uses should be, at what density should they be, and how many stories, how much square footage on that property. This is where we want to see industry. This is the type of industry that we want to see here. We look at then the infrastructure. Are there any fiber optic lines that we need to run that's going to help bring in businesses to the area? Are there any, like I said, is there sewer and water that we need to look at? Is there transportation issues that we need to address? And so that's where we begin to identify all those projects that eventually flow through your budgeting process. We will then develop an economic development component to help your county folks know where to market for the city and what type of businesses to attract based on what you want to have here and what that gap analysis shows. And then the last thing we do is we develop this implementation plan. And that is really the crux of the comprehensive plan that tells you exactly what you need to do, the steps you need to take for every single policy or every single program or project. How much is it going to cost? When should you implement it? Who should be responsible for doing that? What are some of the potential funding sources in order to get that done? And so then we then prepare the final plan and then go through the plan adoption. So I think I'm going to stop right there for now and see if you guys have any questions.
That 20 years is a little long to me. I mean, this town has changed so much. I've lived here all my life. This town is not nearly the town it was 20 years ago.
Right.
And things change, and people's vision changes, and the people that will be sitting in these seats 10 years from now might not have the same vision that we have.
Right. Well, we always look at a 20-year planning horizon. It's just the thing that we do in the profession, so that way you can kind of budget out where you're going. But you're right. Like, for example, and I'll give you a prime example. Back in the early 2000s, I was creating plans that looked outward from a community, that looked about how much land could we gobble up. And then in 2007, 2008, the market crashed. The housing bubble burst. And so all the plans that we, and all the things that we had kind of figured out weren't going to come to fruition at all because, you know, there were changes in the state's taxing policy with property tax caps. You know, the market busted, so there wasn't additional revenue for communities to put into infrastructure. There weren't people moving around, and there were a lot of people losing their houses because that market went upside down. And so ultimately, when things like that happen, you should then come back and revise your comprehensive plan. But one of the things that we put in the implementation section is that you should be reviewing your plan every year or two to see what goals, what objectives, what vision is still consistent. And you're making minor changes as that goes on so that you're not coming back and having to do a whole comprehensive rewrite of your plan because your vision is so outdated. So, you know, it sets the framework and the trajectory of where you want to be for those 20 years. But as long as you're reviewing it every year, you know, no more from to 3 to 5 years, and then you're going to stay on top of that, and you're going to be able to adjust that as a community and a staff versus, you know, having to come out and hire a consultant to update it.
I looked at this city 20 years ago. We had 3 car dealerships. We had a number of restaurants. Mm-hmm. We had a factory down before the glass industry went down. We had a lot of good jobs in town. Now we're dealing with a completely different town.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, 10, 15 years from now, does the people that take our place will be dealing with a different town?
If I could interject that, I think this council has an opportunity to invest in that plan that looks forward, which always can be modified later on, even when all of us are gone. And it's a whole new set of people sitting here. They can say, here's what they started with. Here's what they've accomplished. This is the way they were going over here, but we might want to go this way. And you still can, because the investment has already been there and the plan has already been laid out.
We've been involved with these before. I've been on the council for 8 years. We have some of this in place, but the difficulty of it is for us as leadership is that we have a tendency of the day-to-day that we lose sight of the vision, and mm-hmm. we just play catch-up mm-hmm. and so forth and deal with the immediacy. So you lose sight of your vision. So I think it's up to us as leaders to catch that vision and keep something in our process mm-hmm. to reinvigorate the stimulus in staying on track,
mm-hmm.
revising the vision. Mm-hmm. I'm also a pastor, and I know that, you know, I'll preach here for a second. The Bible says if we don't have a vision, we'll perish.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the past that's something that we failed, and I have failed as a councilman, that I did not revisit the vision and keep that forward. We were just trying to keep our pants from being on fire or whatever, or this or that. So I want to get behind this myself, because I think it's necessary, because if we don't have a vision, then where are we going? We have to have a map.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to support this myself as a councilman. I know it might be costly to do, but I think we need to do something. And I appreciate you coming tonight and bringing this before us. And it sounds like you have the experience to help guide and direct us with your experience, because this isn't what we do. But I don't know. We have changed. I've lived mm-hmm. here for 38 years this summer, and I came from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And my city has changed from where I went there. Vision, and you know, I hope we don't get a vision that we think that we're dying. We're
mm-hmm.
not. We'll die if we think we are.
Right.
You know. And I'm sorry.
We're not going to take much more time on this, but I want to add to your point that the mayor's job, typically, I think, maybe historically, has been to put out a vision. My vision is to incorporate and include as many people in that vision as possible. Not just at this table, but our community as well. So, and then I'll stop.
No, I like the what you talked mm-hmm. about, bringing other people in.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. A lot. I like that a lot. I feel that has not been included in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or thoughts that I can answer? In this housing neighborhoods mm-hmm. of downtown, would that include coming up maybe with a plan on getting rid of blighted houses?
Yes, we can do that. So again, you know, when we go through the beginning of the process, it's for us to understand and identify those issues. You know, so if blighted housing is a problem, you know, let's put that out there. Let's document it as an issue. If there are things that we need to do here within the downtown and on the town square to help support more businesses, all right, let's identify that. So we're going through and identifying what all these issues are, so that by the time you get to the end of the process, the end of the document, you see how we've addressed that particular issue. and then the action steps that you can take. Because not everything is a project. Some of it, I mean, it's divided into typically policies that the city needs to enact. You know, whether it is, you know, addressing a nuisance ordinance because maybe you have a bunch of trash and stuff around. You know, maybe it's kind of a junk ordinance, addressing junkyards and things like that. So there are, you know, a couple of things that you could do there. So, or maybe it's a project. Again, we need to put in a sidewalk here to make this connection from this neighborhood to the school. You know, so the purpose of the comprehensive plan is, you know, taking the vision, understanding where you want to go as a community, and then breaking that down into bite-sized pieces so you know how to get there. And then, and you're able to make course corrections as, you know, things in the market change. And, you know, if you have a big business, like in Greensburg, they had Honda come in. I worked on their first comprehensive plan, and that was, you know, before the market busted, and Honda came in, and they were expecting all these numerous housing and other businesses to crop up. Well, that didn't happen. And so they had to come back and course correct their plan. And they did their plan in 2007, and here it is, you know, 7 years later in 2015. And unfortunately, they had to do a major rewrite of it because of that situation and because the staff and the mayors had changed and no one had kept up with it.
Well, we've been on about 20 minutes now. Are there any other final questions?
I like that word vision because, to me, I think these folks, Karen, I'll just point out Karen, she's absolutely right. When you come in from Muncie now, you see this big, giant pile of sticks and mud and everything else, and it's a first impression. That vision that people have when they come in, and I hate to stay on this soapbox, but these blighted houses that people have to live near and live around, it gives an impression as you drive through there, so I like that.
And then, Mayor, we also did put together, I mean, typically for us to do these services, it is roughly $50,000 plus expenses, which we're estimating to be around $6,000. So if we don't spend, you know, if we don't need all those expenses, that is not something that you would pay us. So that is included. And we've also put a draft schedule in here as well. It typically takes us between 9 and 12 months, but again, it depends on public outreach and public support and the type of issues that we have to address.
Will you show us like rough drafts anywhere along the line?
Oh, yes. We don't, this is not a, we come here, we have a meeting, and we go back to our office and then draft a plan. No, that's not how it works. We work with the steering committee and, we typically write chapter by chapter, and it doesn't necessarily go in order. Like, we will write an existing conditions chapter, so probably within about 6 weeks, we'll have something like that for you. We give that to the steering committee to kind of look at. Again, we go out to the public and vet that information. So, because by the time we get to the end of the process and we go through adoption, what you see in that plan should not be any surprises to you. You should have seen it throughout the entire process. So, and then we will have, yes, we will have a draft plan that we sit down with the steering committee and go through page by page. Then we go out to the public and present that information. If there are changes, we come back to the steering committee and say, this is what we've heard from the public. They like this. They don't like that. We've got to rework this. And then we do that. And then, you know, come to the city council for approval.
Very good.
It is hot in here.
I'm standing up here talking, so I have a tendency to get warm, and I think it's a nervous tick that I fan myself.
And this does not include our parks? Does this plan include our parks?
No, it does from a high level, like identifying where additional parkland would need to be or connecting like a trail to a park, but it does not go into specific park master planning or anything. It just talks about where should we have parks within the community and how many parks in general should you have for your population.
I think that's a great question because it begs the question also, does not, if the county decides to do a comprehensive plan, are we covered? And the answer is no. Because we're covered from 50,000 feet.
Yes.
They're not going to zoom down. The county's not going to zoom down and do a city plan.
Correct.
We'll be part of that, but not what we're talking here, right? I guess that's
correct. What I meant by it is correct. If you guys do your own plan, then your plan would be incorporated into the county's plan, but your plan would focus specifically on you. The county, because they're a county, has a different focus, and they're not going to be able to drill down into very specific issues for each of the communities that they serve. They just can't do that. And so that's why a lot of communities will then do, it's like Greensburg and Decatur County. Greensburg did their own comprehensive plan at a detailed level of what they needed to do, and we're doing the county plan for the county as well. And so we're just lifting Greensburg's plan and placing it right into the county's plan. Now, there was coordination between the city and the county on kind of the fringe areas of the community that were still in the county about how the county should treat those lands and what land uses the city wanted to see, you know, because they were trying to work in partnership, but they both had separate processes, you know, they both paid individually, they both had their own steering committees, and unless we had a joint steering committee between the county and the city.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think we can table that for discussion at a later date. I think we need to look at our financial outlook plan that being made. And we spent a lot of money this year. And sometime go back and revisit it. Mm-hmm.
I
agree. I'll make a motion to table that for right now. Is that right, mate?
Must be a motion and seconded that we table this conversation until next meeting. Let's pick back up on the discussion. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
I can go through the first couple. Okay, we're going to go with the unfinished business. Item A, Cash Drive, Resolution 2016-2.
You missed 7, because that's not counted. You know, we discussed that.
Discuss what?
The trails.
Oh, because I've got an old agenda. Okay. So, really quickly. On Wednesday, I went with a county commissioner and a representative from Randolph County Economic Development Corporation to the Department of Natural Resources in Indianapolis to discuss the possibility of applying for a Rails to Trails program. The specifics about where such thing would be located is yet to be determined, although I think some people have a vision of where they would like to have it. But this is a reimbursable grant, and the county is willing to help out with said grant. So I just wanted to bring that before you. With your blessing, I would like to have a public meeting on this. In order to actually apply for this, we have to have that public meeting advertised before May 2nd. We can have a public meeting at any time, but advertise before May 2nd. But before we call a public meeting, I want to know if there's interest in this, at least applying to pull out at any time. I have more information on it. You can download it from the internet. But basically, they will grant up to $200,000. And 80% matching assistance. So we would basically have 20% of whatever cost of a trail we would want if we had this grant, and the county has already indicated that they are willing to help the city of Winchester in providing a Rails to Trails type of grant.
We had a particular spot in mind.
The rail that we identified would definitely benefit Winchester. It's not that we would try to go into an agreement with
Randolph County Economic Development Benefit anywhere else. But there's a rail, an old abandoned rail line that goes through the golf course that could connect Camp Gale to the city of Winchester. Where that actually is specifically, we haven't got that far.
It's on the east edge of the golf. It's not actually not on the golf course. It forms a boundary all along there.
So with your permission, I would like to have a public meeting, at least so we would be...
See if there's any interest.
See if there's any interest, and see, because if you don't have a meeting, you can't, it can't happen anyway.
Right.
And, but we have to have a meeting for it to even be a possibility.
I make a motion, we have a public meeting.
Thank you. It's been motioned and seconded to have a public meeting on the DNR Rails to Trails grant opportunity. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Thank you, motion passes.
And that will be May 2nd, is that right?
No.
At 6:30, or when is it?
No, I haven't said that.
Thank you.
We'll get it. Unfinished business, item A, Cash Drive, resolution 2016-2.
I have sent out Dakota Holdings the dedication and the deed. I told them when we get that back, then we'll do our resolution. But that was sent to them, they're Canadians. I haven't received it back yet.
So I won't put this on the agenda again.
I guess when we get it back, I'll let you know, Sean. I gave myself a stamped envelope. I hope we'd have it back by now if they were going to do it.
Probably get lost in the mail. If you signed it, then we can sign off on that.
Yeah. Once we get it back, then we will pass our resolution and just record the deed. But I didn't want to do our resolution until we got theirs. I need the paperwork.
Further discussion on item A? There being none, let's move to item B. 906 East Short Street, the Haddix property.
I can do this one real quick too. We received this in like 2010 or 2011, but I got the tax deed. The tax deed just has a parcel number, kind of like if you'll see this resolution soon. Mama's Ad, South Half Lot. I mean, not a legal description at all. We're in discussion with the county auditor's office to make sure we can transfer that to the Haddix if we can. So at this point, we're just trying to get the paperwork together and make sure everything looks okay. Hopefully we'll have something next week, or week after.
Thank you, Meeks. Any further discussion on item B? We'll move into item C. If there's none, and that is 502 South Meridian. If you will recall, several meetings ago, I accepted quotes from two different companies for demolition of 502 South Meridian Street. Again, this is a property that the city of Winchester is in possession of because of the process that it's gone through. Nate, I think maybe we ought to update on what that process is again, please, if you would mind.
We received this. Is this one we received?
This is the one that didn't sell at the certificate sale the other day.
Oh, this is okay.
No construction.
Sorry, there's also there's too many Meridian Street properties for me to keep it straight. What will happen next is that we have a resolution 2016-3. So what you'll want to do is pass that. If you pass that, then this goes to the commissioners. The commissioners will then give you tax sale certificates for those three properties. And so when we hold the certificates, and this is how we've done this three or four or five times now, I don't know how many, at least three, we get the tax sale certificate. We still don't own it. We own the certificate, meaning we own the lien, basically, the tax lien. So at that point happens, we apply for a tax deed after the appropriate amount of time, after the tax sale. Tax sale law are so gosh darn complicated. I don't practice in this area because it's way complicated, and the state legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decides to change the law all the time. So we get John Orlowski. I don't know, you probably remember that from the last one, or maybe not. We get John Orlowski from Muncie to get us the deeds and do the paperwork on that end. Although my office does go through it and searches the title, make sure there's no adverse claims or adverse liens, you know, maybe a mortgage lien or some other lien that we know if a bank owns anything on it. So if it is, those people get notice after the 90 days. John will apply, or the 120 days, whatever it is. John applies for the deed. The judge signs off on the deed. We get a tax deed, and then we can do whatever we want with the property.
So the total time frame there is what? Can you say
that? Oh, I'd say we'd be looking at least a good 90 days from the date of the sale, because I think that's what the statute says. Now, they've changed the statute. It's 1 year from the first sale. So if you have the first sale, it's 1 year. But this has gone through the first sale already, and we're back to the second sale. And I believe the second sale is either 90 or 120 days. So this might be the third sale, and if it's the third sale, it might only be 60 days. I just don't know which sale this is.
But we would pay. We wouldn't have to pay the taxes on it.
No, what you would have to pay is the transfer fees, which is John's fees and the search and the title fees. And the court, and there's no court cost, so it's like $650 or something. It's whatever it was. But if you look in our other sheet, do you know how much those were?
Sorry,
maybe 800. Yeah, I think John's was 650, and it was like $200 for the.
And the bid you got, Meredith, was that good for a certain period of time, or did they
bid it? I would suppose so. But
we couldn't go and do it anything right now anyway. We don't own it.
But this is the one that we're going to do the resolution on.
Yep. When you do the resolution on that resolution, a similar copy of that resolution, not this one because you guys' names are on it, would go to the county commissioners at their next meeting. And I assume the county commissioners are going to sign it. They did it for Union City. I don't know why they wouldn't do it for you guys. This one was not. This is the one we just sent out. Remember, we had the tax sale and we just sent it out. We just found out about this last week.
Right. Yeah. We were going to do something different and then it didn't stop.
Yeah, right. We were going to do something different and then it was like, oh, there's three of them.
So this is 2016-3?
Yep.
Can we do that?
Today? Absolutely.
So what do we need to do?
Pass resolution 2016-3 by title only.
Say that again. This is 2016-3, resolution 2016-3, which basically asks the commissioner to give us
the tax sale certificate.
Tax sale certificate so that we can make a decision on what to do with the properties.
I make a recommendation that we proceed with resolution 2016-3 by title only.
Second. It has been moved and seconded to read by title only 2016-3. Any discussion?
Is that just 502 South Main or South Meridian?
No, those are the three. Okay. There's the one there.
Okay, give me the other ones again.
It's Beach Grove Edition, lot 99. I think
I don't have
it. I send you this address.
I've got it.
It's
not
right here.
The address.
Well, I looked it up.
502 South Meridian, 424 Walnut.
The house faces Beach Street.
Yeah.
So, no, this empty lot.
Okay, it is an empty lot, isn't it?
This is 424 Walnut. This is an empty lot.
And it was a burnout.
Yeah, it was a burnout thing. 214. Is that Meridian?
South Meridian.
Yeah. Of the a vacant alley behind those lots. So this one's a vacant alley behind those.
Is that North Meridian or South?
North Meridian. 214 North Meridian is the other one.
Oh, that's a vacant alley.
Oh, I thought that was the other one. Okay. This is vacant of alley, so I assume this was a vacant alley.
So there's only one property.
Well, no, there's 214 North Meridian is an actual structure, correct?
Right. That Fairseas is the one that was tore down beside the, that was the vacant lot.
There's a motion and a second on the table to read resolution 2016-3. All in favor, read by title only. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Resolution 2016-3, resolution of the City Council of the City of Winchester requesting the transfer of certain real estate from the Randolph County Board of Commissioners to the City of Winchester.
A motion to approve.
Second. It's been motion to approve, read, and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes.
So we'll start the process, and we'll get this, when we get back from the commissioners, it'll be 2 weeks, because they don't meet for 2 weeks. Although the time period is running right now, so it's not that critical. Then we'll get the tax sale certificates and send them over to John.
One ready
for a resolution.
Okay.
I just would ask the board, is it okay that if I got John Orlowski to do this again? Because you are in current bids.
Not trash bids, demolition bids. I just want everybody to let me back. Any further discussion? Item C.
I need to know if it's okay to use Mr. Orlowski again. It is okay, trust me. He does a really good job for the city of Winchester.
Anybody got a problem with that? He's done it before for us. All right.
Okay, I'll get him. Just prove the claim when it comes through.
So the blighted properties then that we advertised for tonight, we didn't get anything on, what's the next step on that?
Is that on the agenda?
No, but it was in the paper that it was.
I thought it was there in, where you had abandoned, unattended appliance, I thought that was abandoned houses too there, no? So we can't do anything on tonight?
Well, we didn't get any bids, so what we'll do is just re-advertise it and rebid them. So I will get it re-advertised over to Vicki so she can rebid it. And then you can take it. And I'll get with Sean and ask him what timeframe. I would imagine, well, we can just talk about it right now. We'll just re-advertise it this week. We'll have the next 2 weeks or something. Maybe the first week, let's probably do it the second meeting in May. That we'll have in second meeting. That gives people enough time to get some paper.
Can I allow to ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
My question is, as an example, remember the Saturday, it was really blowing terrible. We lost electricity, yeah. Well, 2 days later, I was walking, and so I went by, and I don't know if Mrs. Jones is here tonight. She is back there. And hers is just one example, and I could show you pictures of this house, but there's a house right next to, just to the west of them. And shingles had blown off the roof, a large 2x whatever it was serrated that you couldn't, had blown into their yard. And I realized you had it cleaned up before I came to see you the other day, just to see how much time you have. I think we're going to have to start looking at a few of these houses. And I've got pictures of them. I mean, if you look at these and you say, yeah, I don't want to look at a rundown house next to me. But I obviously, definitely, with children in the neighborhood, I don't want stuff flying off. I mean, this front porch in that wind fell in even more. If you pull on the board, the whole thing would come down, I think. And they had shingles in their yard. They had, Justin Jones was out picking it up, I think, the time when I drove by. They had pieces of 2x4s or long boards that had blown off of that thing and were in their yard. And it's just really dangerous. I think we need to come up with some kind of a plan. Mo and I, at different times, we went driving. I couldn't find that house on Walnut Street. And then turns out it's a lot because Vicki helped me and we figured out it's an empty lot. But there are a couple others. Well, one particularly that we thought was the house that's actually on Beach Street. And you know, those people in that neighborhood, they're trying to keep those. There are some very nice homes. I mean, they're just nice homes and they are keeping their yard so nice and really trying. And then right beside you, you know, as an example, and I won't look at it, I mean, I won't make everybody look at this, but, you know, I mean, here's this house. This whole part right here, okay, oh, sorry, mm-hmm. That whole part was in her yard. I mean, and it was but you know, that wind was going so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so what can we do? I don't know.
Somebody live there?
No.
Tell you what you could do is get our ordinance out that talks about the nuisance and get our ordinance out that talks about standards. I mean, fair housing standards. And then you can go to Hamilton County and all this stuff online or call them and say, what's yours? And then what do you guys do? And see what other communities do. You guys have those meetings in IAC. You can call IAC and see what they recommend.
I'm going to a meeting there once.
Go to the IAC meeting, ask them what they do. Maybe get some sample ordinances from them.
This is the one Mo and I thought it was. Mm-hmm. And the people right next to her are keeping their house up and they're keeping their
And then they've got this next to them.
Yeah.
There's also one on Cross Street, too.
I know there's a lot of new legislation out there, and I go to my meeting in the next month or two, so.
Yeah.
I'll listen to what they do.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to Leslie about this, and, you know, I just messaged her and said I was the one looking in your backyard, you know, that day. But I mean, it's a danger when you have kids.
But when you talk to them, get their sample ordinance.
Okay.
Get their ordinance.
Get their ordinance, okay.
I don't care what else you get, you don't forget what they tell you, get their ordinance. Then we'll know what they do. I can tell you, I think Elkhart has a complicated process. Maybe it's Elwood, and I forget, I remember sitting through a presentation.
Or a simple process to get it done.
Well, I'm telling you, they're super complicated to a simple.
I have to leave this on the right.
I'm going to a meeting in Hagerstown, that meeting, I have a meeting on Wednesday, so, but, okay. Yes, it is tomorrow, you're right, it is tomorrow.
Coincidence.
Yeah.
Be well informed when you get back.
I should remember that, because.
Okay. Any further discussion on item C? Let's move in, item D, cemetery excavator, and I'd like to invite Fred Davis, chairman of the cemetery board. No, treasurer?
Vice.
Secretary.
Vice.
Vice.
I don't handle this big high-class thing.
My vision for the next 20 years for you folks is to stay the heck out of the place that I'm representing tonight, Downton Park Cemetery.
I just threw my wife in there yesterday.
Okay, I've been coming here since 2009. Worked and worked and worked out there in that cemetery. There's a big dispute, in my opinion. Mason and I don't agree, I don't think Vicki and I agree, I don't know how you people agree about who owns the cemetery. So I asked Sean, I said, can I work out something and bring to you and let you guys take a look at it, and you make a decision from what I've got, the research I've got a bag full of stuff here. I did not copy it because I can't afford the ink, it cost me $100 an ink, but if you want it, I'll leave it here for you to copy. But I shortly, and I have a brief description. The book I'll be discussing is this book, and this was written by Ashiel Stoneman in 1880. It's 136 years old. I'm not going to let you finger it because the pages are really brittle, but there's a lot of information. So, starting with that, Vicki, I'm going to go pretty quickly through this, so you're not going to be able to type up the notes that I have.
I've got it recorded.
Okay, all right. Downton Park Cemetery ownership. Another thing, you guys need a podium up here for us to speak. I've seen that lady of Argo trying to flip through her papers. I see other people get up here and try to read it, and they're as nervous as I am. But you know, it'd be nice if we had something up here to lay our papers on so we could do it, okay? Just a suggestion. Downton Park Cemetery ownership, purchased by Ashiel and Lydia Stone, mapped and plotted by Benjamin Grove, Esquire. I don't think that's a lawyer, I think that's a gentleman. I think that's a gentleman back in the 1800s. Civil and cemetery engineers of Louisville, Kentucky. In 1877, there was a petition circulated to induce the town trustees to find suitable ground for a burial place of Winchester residents. The town trustees, as they were called at that time, not caring to assume the responsibilities to make the purchase, caused the failure of the project. So, referring to the book, page 9, Ashiel Stone purchased from the administrator of Christian Heaston, deceased, a tract of ground for $4,000, to which he then added another $300. For a survey and plat of the ground, which will become Fountain Park Cemetery. Again, page 9, on 3-1 of 1880, General Stone appeared before the Board of Trustees, the town, at a regular meeting and presented for the town of Winchester, Indiana, by deed made to the Board of Trustees, the entire tract of land, and for the uses and purposes mentioned in the deed. Still on page 9, the Board of Trustees, City Council, that time accepted the donation for the people and appointed General Stone, Colonel H.H. Neff, and T.W. Heiser as the Board of Control for the said cemetery. That comes under the code, the Indiana Code 23-14-65-10. Page 19 in the book. First Board of Control members were Ashiel Stone, to serve until 1883, then his successor would be elected by the town or city council at the first meeting in June of 1883. The member representing the lot owners was Henry Neff, and he was to serve till 1882, and represents the lot owners, and his successor will be elected by the lot owners at such time as to be determined
by the Board of Control to serve for 3 years, and they decided that time would be June. The third man was Thomas Kaiser. He was to hold this place in 1881, and he would be elected just like the second member I mentioned. Book 20 in page 20 in the book, the Board of Control shall be empowered to make all the decisions for Fountain Park Cemetery. That's under the code 2314-6515, which is City and Town Cemeteries, power of the Cemetery Board. Page 83 through 100 of this book is rules and regulations for the cemetery. And that is also set up by Indiana Code 2. I didn't get that number, sorry. Page 101 of this book, Ordinance 47, an ordinance for the regulations defining violations and penalties. It was passed on July 16th of 1880. Sam Fox was the president of town council, and W.P. Needham was the clerk. By the way, one of the violations in here that you could get arrested for and fined was feeding your horses to the cemetery. Ordinance 419 was land purchased by Mayor Orrin Ross. This is an excerpt from that deed. Whereas City of Winchester in the state of Indiana is the owner and beneficial title to the burial ground known as Fountain Park Cemetery. This was 318 of 1931. This again, under land purchase, comes under the code 2314-6518. The 17 acres of ground that they purchased on the south side of the cemetery, which would eventually become part of the cemetery, on page 3 in that petition, in the deed, 458, a petition to enlarge, paragraph 4, that said city is the owner of the beneficial title in and to the tract of land known as Fountain Park Cemetery, situated in the county of Randolph in the state of Indiana and described in a deed from Ashley Stone to the Board of Control of Fountain Park Cemetery in trust for the cities of Winchester, Indiana. Under paragraph 5, that said cemetery ground is now managed and operated in accordance with the uses and purposes of such deed. Page 4, resolution, first paragraph. Whereas the City of Winchester in the state of Indiana is the owner and beneficial title to the burial ground. Page 9, entry 17, last three lines. Real estate is hereby declared to be and become the property of the City of Winchester, Indiana, as part and parcel of Fountain Park Cemetery. Then comes Ordinance 551, Ordinance for a Tax Levy, 1959. Cemeteries, 1 cent per hundred, and the city clerk was B.E. Henshaw, that was 8-2 of 58. Then comes Ordinance 564, for a Tax Levy, 1960, Cemetery Fund, 1 cent per hundred, Mayor West, 831-59. Then comes Ordinance 589. These are all City of Winchester ordinances. Appropriating money for the purpose of defraying expenses for several departments of the city government beginning fiscal year 1963 to 12/31/1963. Section 2 under that. For the fiscal year here, they are hereby appropriated out of the general fund of the said city is the following. Under that, it says cemeteries, current obligation, $979. Ordinance 65-621, 3 cent tax was passed for cemeteries by city council. Public Works meeting, 223 of 76. Mayor Beechler reported that Earl Ray, caretaker of Fountain Park Cemetery, wanted $300. That was to clean the Beeson Monument. It was in a will to have it cleaned. Beechler was the president and attached to the Maryland Patch. Another ordinance, 7619, resolution, whereas Civil City of Winchester, Indiana is contiguous to it and part of it known as Cemetery of Fountain Park Cemetery. Whereas said cemetery was created by a conveyance and trust for the City of Winchester, Indiana as a cemetery. Whereas it is necessary for the City of Winchester, Indiana to periodically contribute funds to said cemetery, whereas been brought to the attention of Board of Public Works, the City of Winchester, Indiana, and the Common Council of Winchester, that there are persons may be interested in bequeathing or giving property or monies to the City of Winchester, Indiana, which money or property they desire to designate for the use of either permanent improvements for the Fountain Park Cemetery, or a perpetual maintenance and care of said cemetery, or for other designated uses and purposes. So be it resolved, they will accept gifts and bequests from individuals or estates to either Randolph County Bank or the People's Loan Trust, which they're looked on, and put into the Fountain Park Perpetual Maintenance Fund. This was done by Mayor Beechler and Marilyn Pash. It was a motion and it was passed, but there was not a date in the book on it. This came under the code 2314-6523. Then there was a resolution accepting the amended restated bylaws of Fountain Park Cemetery. Second paragraph that stated, the City Council of the City of Winchester, Indiana, is specifically not relinquishing any rights or other obligations it has to Fountain Park Cemetery by adopting this resolution. This was dated on 5/4/2009. I believe Mr. Cockrell penned this resolution. This was under 2314-65. Then, when the big dispute was going on at the cemetery, I started getting involved in this. In a letter from Fred Davis to Susan Dillon Myers on May 29th, 2009, Myers was asked, who owns the cemetery? Myers responded in writing, number one, who owns the cemetery? By deed dated 3/1/1880, goes on to mention page 18 in the Stone Book, which is the deed of conveyance. The last sentence, Myers says, and I quote, in view of all these documents and the language contained herein, the City of Winchester is the owner of Fountain Park Cemetery, end quote. The Indiana Code 2314-65 under the State Board of Funeral Cemetery Services and the Secretary of State's office in the state of Indiana has many laws that direct us as far as the cemetery is concerned. 2314-65 describes the fact that we are able to hire employees, tell what they make. We can have also the amount of money that we charge for a lot, anything else we run in that cemetery, the Board of Control has that right. 2314-65-19, our Fountain Park Cemetery Board reports each year to the City Council of Winchester as to what our finances are and what the cemetery has done the previous year. That's Indiana Code 2314-65-19, which requires us to do that by law. 2314-65-27 states the Board of Control has the exclusive management of the cemetery. Now, I emailed several people back when we was having this dispute. I came to the council several times, and I talked to the people who were in the Indiana Professional Licensing Agency, the State Board of Funeral and Cemetery Services within the Department of Secretary of State. I was asking why we had a perpetual fund and not a permanent maintenance fund at Fountain Park Cemetery. You have to have a perpetual fund if you're privately owned. That's Indiana Code 2314-48. But if you are owned by a municipal corporation or other government unit, this does not apply. That's 2314-48-1(a)(1). So, and an email back from Mr. Hicks, it was traced up, maybe missed, it's Tracy Hicks, board director, responded, and I quote, I do not find any registered cemeteries in Winchester, Indiana, end quote. That means Fountain Park is owned by a municipality, and the former mayor, council, city attorney, allowed us to convert the perpetual fund to a permanent maintenance fund a couple of years back. A couple weeks ago, I came back to this council again. This is what we're here for tonight, an excavator for the cemetery, which would make us a little bit more profit than what we got, get a good piece of equipment, have a good deal on it. 3/21/16, Nick said he would review the tax ID laws. On 4/4/16, Nick says he does not believe the cemetery should use a federal ID. The following day, Mr. Caldwell responded to an email from Vicki Haney. Todd Caldwell responds, "To answer your question, if giving the city's federal ID number to a private group, we would not recommend it." We're not a private group.
Can I ask you a question?
No, wait a minute. Let me finish, okay?
Well, I mean, you've talked 20 minutes now, but,
no,
but the
I
sexton...
No, I've been up here about 7 minutes. Let me finish this, and then you can have some time, okay? I've been waiting for 9 years for this. Now examine the original wording of the email sent by Clark Haney. No followers are not thrown under the bus. Fountain Park Cemetery, which does not receive tax dollars and is controlled by the cemetery lot owners, asked the council to use a federal ID number to purchase an excavator. Reason for the request? The equipment would be discounted significantly. My opinion. This is not a good explanation of the Board of Control. Our Fountain Cemetery Board of Control is elected by the lot owners. It's not guided, it is guided by Indiana Code and the City of Winchester and falls under the Code 2314-6510, which gives the board all the rights to operate the cemetery that is owned by the City of Winchester and has in past years through ordinances numbered 551-564-589-65-621 received tax money on several occasions. Our board is elected by lot owners, but is not controlled by the lot owners. And the City Council of Winchester has two appointments on our board. Used to only be one, now it's two. We are required by law to come to the Winchester City Council every year in January to make a report to them on our finances. That's 2314-19. So, I'm asking the Winchester City Council and Mayor Bylum to make a ruling on this after my presentation of solid evidence on the question of who owns the cemetery. Fred Davis. Thanks.
Did you have anything? I would only say this. Even if the City of Winchester is a fee simple owner, meaning they absolutely 100% own that, you still have a corporation, you have a federal ID number. Am I correct, Fred?
No, we don't.
How do you pay the sexton?
Well, we've got a tax exempt number.
Okay, so you have a number that's a tax exempt, it's some sort of number. I would be so totally surprised if you don't have a federal ID number because you have to put something on his W-2, right? You have an EIN number, would that be correct? You have an EIN number.
Okay.
You are some sort of a corporation. It could be a not-for-profit. It could be a for-profit. I don't know what type of corporation. I haven't looked into it.
Not-for-profit.
Not-for-profit, but you have an EIN number. So you can't sit here and say, hey, we own this. Even if we all agree, even if every one of your board signs a deed that says the City of Winchester owns that outright, you are still some sort of corporation. You have an EIN number. You're out there maintaining that property. I cannot say the City of Winchester, yeah, here's our EIN number, and then you're going to operate that under your EIN number. There's two different numbers here. If you were truly like the Parks Board, then absolutely. I'd say the City of Winchester can do it. The Parks Board, everybody on the Parks Board gets paid through the City of Winchester's EIN number.
We're not supposed to get paid.
Well, the Parks Board does. I think the Parks Board does. I'm just saying it's through the Parks Board.
The deed of access to the state, nobody would pay for it.
Don't they get something?
I don't think so.
No. Do they get something, Ricky?
Well, the Parks Board doesn't get it.
Both Board of Works does. I mean, just like the Board of Works.
I didn't take this job for pay. I took it for
I'm not saying.
Because I love the cemetery.
I'm just saying you have an EIN number, you have a sexton that does things out there. It does a good job, I think.
We hire a sexton.
And so our excavator, quote unquote, will then be used by the sexton or whoever, or if you hire somebody else. The city can give you a grant for the money. I mean, we can do things like that, but I just don't see how we could use our EIN number.
Would you give me a grant tonight? Would they make a motion to give me a grant? Because if they don't, we've already got the money, Meeks. So all we're asking for is what this fellow over there told us to ask for. I know you made a comment toward the end of a meeting or two. I wouldn't hear that. We needed two
quotes on bids. Well, I can get you three or four if you'd like.
I mean, I didn't say you needed two quotes. I would say it's always been, I think, the city policy to get two or three quotes. I mean, I don't know if they've always done that, but I'm not sure I said that, but I could have been.
But you do own the cemetery. It's run. It was in the deed. I've got what's recorded in the courthouse, which is longhand on the big long paper, about 8 or 9
well,
pages long.
Well, beneficial owner is a little bit different. A beneficial owner isn't really a fee simple owner. There is, that is, and you said beneficial owner a lot, okay, because that's a legal term. If you got Dale up here and Dale agrees to sign a fee simple deed over to the city, yes, if you guys go under the city, we'll have to do something with that cemetery.
You've taxed the citizens in the city of Winchester for three different times, different amounts of money.
Right. You still have an EIN number. Yeah. You're operating.
Are you telling me
a corporation has an EIN number? You're operating under.
Are you telling me that's
I'm
all
saying I get, if they want to do that, they can do whatever they want, but I'm not going to recommend
it. Let's let Dave get in here. Dave has a question.
Would you have time to go to the IAC meeting on Wednesday?
Kathy signed up.
Tomorrow.
Tuesday. It's Tuesday.
Too late. You have to sign up before.
They're not going to help you.
No.
So I have a question.
I understand the position you got. So what's it all about? I mean, if you give me the tax number, you save X number of dollars?
I'm about $20,000.
Now, I have a question. They swear we own the cemetery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if we own it.
If they swear that we own it, we say that we don't.
I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying we don't.
I'm not either.
What makes a difference if they will sign whatever it is for us to take ownership of that cemetery and us be the owners of it? We let them control it as a cemetery board, just as the park board does the park. What is the big deal with that?
I think to get to that point, you would have to have a judge sanction that.
Why?
Because I think there's a lot of people in the cemetery board or in the cemetery association that probably doesn't have that same opinion, that could say, hey, that's not right. We might own it or we might not, or whoever. You would almost have to go and do something to that nature. It's clear. It's kind of like clearing title to a...
This is a handwritten deed that came with the cemetery. It's over in the recorder's office. And it says that they give this to the city of Winchester.
Beneficial.
Hold in trust or whatever for the citizens here. And it also says that if anything ever happens to that cemetery and it's not run according to what this is here, even though there's probably no living relatives, that cemetery would revert back to Ashley Stone.
All right, well, just to clear out Ashley Stone's relatives, you would have to do something with the...
You're talking about a bunch of people. So what happens to the museum? The number...
I'm not calling the IRS. I'm telling you that. I'm not picking up the phone. I'm just giving you my...
I asked State Board of Accounts.
The way the email was written was...
I'll email it again exactly the way you want. Okay. I will send it back to him, okay, and we'll see his response.
And I would also go back over to the dealer and ask him if we can use our number and see if that will take care of the problem.
It's the IRS that I'm in question.
I'm not concerned about this.
I'm concerned
a little bit about the state board, only if you're giving somebody an excavator using a number, because it has to go through a...
Right. That's my concern.
Didn't really give it to us. It's our money. We're buying it with our money. We're going to set it in the cemetery out here, and that's the only place it's going to be used, and that's for the citizens that are...
I'm telling you right now, you can tell me anything right now, Fred. I'm probably not going to agree with you.
Well, you never do.
I do sometimes. But this one, I just don't. I can't, and I'll tell you what I can't get over. You have a federal ID number that you're paying a sexton with. We have a federal ID number you use. So by definition, to have a federal ID number, you got to have some sort of organization. Because I can't just get a federal ID number. I have a social security number you get, but not a federal. I have to have an organization to get a federal ID number, no matter what that organization is.
But this says we don't know.
You got a federal ID number, right?
I called the auditor's office today, and they said that 700 South Main is deeded to Fountain Park Cemetery.
I said one.
But it's DD2.
It's probably, that's how it is in the transfer books, but the transfer books might be wrong.
What was it?
So, are those...
That's that cemetery.
Well, they...
No, it's...
You're 700 South Gate.
Yeah.
I can't get over the two different numbers, that's what I can't get over. If you can bring somebody, if you can bring Dale in and Dale tells me I'm all wrong or something, fine.
I don't bring Dale either.
I might, if you, well, he has to bring me the federal code.
I will go back over.
If he can bring me the federal code that says this can work, I'm fine.
I will go back over to the dealership and find out if our ID number works, and if it will, and we'll buy the machinery. If it don't, I'll be back. Because I'll take it up enough of your time.
I have a question. Let's see a vote on it or something, because we don't have one.
I think we have a plan.
We need to end this.
I think we have a plan going forward.
He's gonna check and do some more research.
Vicki's gonna email the other question. He's gonna go back to the dealership, see if he can use the employee ID number. And you've got something to do too.
I think the issue is if you can go and talk to Dale or talk to anybody you want and that comes in and says, hey, here's the IRS regs that says we can do it, or says that, you know, we can't not do, you know, either way, I'm fine. I just cannot get over the two ID numbers.
I'll go to dealership.
Okay.
Thank you for your time, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, on that factor, where Lisa's question wasn't answered, you know, about setting up, it's been set up. It's in, he just read you all the setup. It always involves the city. Responsibilities and stuff, it always involves the city. And why do you think we come here once a month to report on what the actions are? And it's been doing it for...
That's not the question.
Well, it's two IDs.
I think we're pretty clear on it, Jim.
I think it's two IDs.
It's just, we gotta clear it up for sure.
And I think we're all in favor of letting this happen, if there's any way it can happen. Because I think it's a great deal for the cemetery and for the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm more, that's a double tap there, so we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. We have our plan moving forward with the cemetery excavator. We're gonna go into item E of unfinished business, chicken coops. Any discussion?
Yeah. I do have a little bit of discussion, but this is an area plan issue. So area plan has to rule on whether or not to allow chicken coops in a residential zoning area. So we don't even need to discuss this anymore. So if somebody asks you about chicken coops, tell them to go to area plan.
If they approve it, then they can...
Well, then it comes back to us, and then we either approve or disapprove.
I've talked to several constituents in my district, and no one wanted chicken coops. I talked about free range chicken fry, and they didn't like that idea.
But this area plan, because area plan could regulate that.
Okay, new business. 528 North Meridian Street, Mr. Byerly, are you in attendance?
My name's Heath Byerly, and I was told that the city of Winchester owns 528. I live at 524, and I would like for the city to consider putting up this up. It's vacant.
Oh, so it's a lot?
I live right beside it.
It's a lot?
Yeah, it's empty. I'd like to put a garden, big garden.
Is that the corner of 4th and Meridian?
No, it's on down, it's right beside the alley.
Okay, okay.
There's two empty lots right there.
Oh, I know.
Heath, if we put this up for sale, would you be interested in buying?
Yeah. I live right next door.
So we have it here, I brought the statute with me, just to let everybody know. If the assessment is less than 15 grand, which I assume the assessment's less than $15,000 for a lot in town, and that you guys decide the highest and best use of the tract is to sell to the budding landowner, and then the cost of maintaining the tract equals or exceeds the fair market value, and it's economically unjustified to sell a tract under Section 4, which is the one we're doing now, then you can do it. So if you guys are willing to say all those things, I'll get the resolution together and get it to Mr. Byerly and everything else. We might have to do a little bit of advertisement, because I read that, but...
to use that term now.
No, I don't take care of it. I would like to take care of it.
No, you just tell me if you guys are willing to do that, then I'll get the paperwork together.
The city tore down, just the history real quick. The city actually demolished the house that was on that property when we owned it. And the expense for the demolition was $3,430. I'm just letting you know.
And then you had the Best Free Disposal.
That's included in it, all of them. The total was $3,430. To demolish the property.
That wasn't too bad.
Or demolish the house and where you got, put it back to the nice lot that it is.
Would you be willing to pay for the amount that it cost us to demolition the house and everything? And then whatever cost incurred? Did you say, do we have to have an appraisal done, Nick?
No, I mean, this is the problem. You have a $3,500 bill for a property that's less than, I mean, we see those appraisals on these empty lots, what, $500?
Yeah, okay.
So you have to just decide the highest and best use is the property owner. He can build a garage on there, hopefully, and get assessments, get assessments back and get better.
$500. So the family members, they got split. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that they have great enough business. They haven't tried to recoup the tax loss. I want to get the money back too, but
this is the problem with tearing down houses. Usually what happens is we try to get to the budding landowners so we can.
Do we have to ask the other landowners if they would like to purchase?
They could come up here.
There are several occasions where a property such as described here with an adjacent property owner, he would start paying taxes on it. He would maintain the property. I don't know who maintains it. Anybody maintains the property?
We own it.
There have been plenty of occasions where the property is deeded to the adjacent landowner who makes application. He's the only one here to do that. And they deed it property over to him. And it's done.
So is there a certain amount of money that's involved?
We would get him to, you pay the transfer fees or whatever fees are associated with the advertisement, which is probably about a couple of $50, $100. Deeds.
Oh, for the advertisement?
So would $500 cover the?
It would be the cost. Actually, the statute says you have to pay, by the way. Appraisal fees, but we're not getting any appraisal fees. Title insurance if you want it. Recording fees, which will be like $18, and advertisement costs. That's what
that's the only expense you have.
Offering price means the appraised value of the real estate plus all costs associated with the sale, including those costs.
Would this board be willing to or want to set maybe a precedent on if this happens again? Is there a certain price that you're looking at? What would that price be?
It's a win-win. We don't get, we don't have no taxes. I think they're all individual.
It depends what you can do with them and who might want it.
So if you guys want me to get the paperwork together, we can get together and I'm going to borrow a cell phone number.
Yep.
You'll
be thinking of something and we'll
you
be thinking of something.
To get the
no. Can we do that?
Yep. We'll think of something and you think of
what's that price
for the money?
I make a motion that we allow Mayor Byram to move forward on the paperwork to get me to guide you on that, and then we'll at the next meeting or whenever that's presented to us, we will set fees and costs.
There's a motion on the table?
Second.
And it's been seconded. To give me her view of setting working with me and setting fees. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Fountain Park Cemetery update, item B.
Three minutes.
good afternoon.
Okay, we've had the meeting on 4/12. We had guest speakers. I wanted the bank to come over and talk about our investments and how the cemetery tries to survive by themselves out there. We have some CDs, and this is done by years ago, how people, you know, invested their money so we can be self-sufficient, you know? And those are the things. So every year I try to have Jim King from First Merchants to come and give us an update on our investments and how much money and how we draw out, because we have it's just like a checkbook, you know. You have your want list and then your need list. So we look at the budget that we have, and then we try to say, okay, we need this new equipment, or we need to update this or that, or invest in whatever we had to, like this past couple years, into a sales department so we can sell headstones out there and make a little bit more money. So those kind of things is what our bankers, the other one was Ryan from Old National Bank, and we have that through the chapel fund, through Goodrich. And they, you know, they have a certain amount of money, just like the city does from Goodrich. And there's a fund, and that's being appropriated by the family. And so we ask for so much money every year to get out of there so we can purchase certain things for this cemetery out there, which last year we put in a whole new parking lot, which I guess all of you have already walked out there or drove out there. It improved it a lot. We had a lot of good input from the people out there, and also the loved ones that come out there and see their loved ones out there. It was a positive move. It took a lot of money, but it was a positive move. In fact, after all that investment, we've increased on lot sales, because it's a nice place to be in the future, 20 years from now. So anyway, those kind of things is what we have to determine every day, just like you guys do, determine your, you know, how much you could spend, do we really need that? So this is the thing that it was a lengthy meeting, and it's very important, and that's why every month I always have a guest speaker to give us education to the board itself on what we need to do and what we need to invest. Then the rest of it is just regular finances. We had were asked to add more hours because now it's that time. It's where all the cemeteries in the United States is supposed to look good for Memorial Day. You start now. You have to put in and invest the money and the labor to get these looking good. So we did. We increased our hours a little bit more so we can have more people out there helping us clean up and mow and trim. Of course, we had that high wind that Missy was talking about, that we had all kinds of trees down, and it was unsafe. We had to react quickly, and that took some money, but we got it. We did it together, all of us, and so that took a little bit of money that wasn't expected. And then we had a gentleman that had talked about a drain problem, which we're working on it right now. Drains out there, it's just land with headstones on it. So you don't, you know, it's hard to drain because some of you have a lot of pockets. As the mayor knows, he used to mow out there and trim out there. There's a lot of pockets out there. So we try to do some of the drainage ourselves. But in the past, we hired the county surveyor to give us the, when we put in something big like that, we have to make sure it's properly, the water will go into the creek. We also had a potential buyer of land lots out there. And so we're hoping on that to come through. And then we worked on a couple of other SOPs adding to
our SOPs that we have now, standard operation procedures. So in a nutshell, that was our, and we talked a lot about our upcoming Memorial Day, which I invite all of you here on Memorial Day to come out there. I know the mayor's going to speak, and if any council person would like to speak, you know, let me know. Fred and I are our chairman and co-chairman of that, and we have a good little presentation, about 45 minutes, to honor everybody. And we're spending some monies out there so it can look good and safe out there. And the biggest thing is, you know, cooperation with the city, which they always do. The city street department will come out there and broom it up and just look nice for that particular time. We've been getting a lot of people from other towns coming over just to see the, because not everybody does a ceremony anymore. A lot of them dropped it because it's just unaffordable or whatever the problem is in some of these cemeteries. And I'm glad that we, as our lot, the lot owners and the board out there, decided to keep it going. And it's good for Winchester. Any questions?
Okay. Well, since you're up there, Jim, would you like to give an update on WCCPC?
I seen that. I didn't know I was.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'll talk another half hour.
No problem. You don't have anything.
Talk about WCCPC.
All right. Item C, our new business, broadband rate ordinance. It says that it's broadband ordinance.
Yeah, Sean brought this to me last week.
Yeah,
about, and it's basically just saying that we're a broadband ready community,
just in case we ever have the opportunity for broadband service.
Yeah, I think it's one of the economic development type of incentive type things.
Yeah,
I would call it that.
Do we need to read the whole thing out, or
no?
You need to pass it three times.
Well, could I just ask something? So this, I mean, when I talk about this, I'm just asking. We have Comcast, who has the franchise fees here right now, and we have a contract with them that we receive $38,392.32 every year for. So this would not affect anything at all for that. I just don't want our fees to go away. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Great.
I think this just says it's promote economic growth in the city. It doesn't mean
so it's not going to void our contract.
It's like saying, it's like saying the city of Winchester, Indiana,
like
recognizes that we're going to use paper money like the rest of the United States. I mean, it's not a. If you read the ordinance, it's just, it's basically saying that we are, as a city,
open for business.
Open for business.
Okay.
With broadband capabilities, if they so choose to be here.
We'll vote on that.
Yep. We need it by title.
Interesting. Give me the ordinance number.
7.
2016-7.
I make a proposal that we have resolution 2016-7 read by title only for the first reading.
Second. It's been motioned and seconded to have broadband readiness ordinance number 2016-7 read by title only. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ordinance 2016-7, an ordinance for broadband ready community development for the city of Winchester.
Motion to approve.
Second. A motion to approve and second it. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. I make a motion that we suspend the rules and have resolution 2016-7 read by title only for the second reading.
Second. It's been motioned and seconded to have the rule suspended for ordinance number 2016-7. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ordinance 2016-7, an ordinance for broadband ready community development for the city of Winchester.
Motion to approve.
Second. The motion and seconded to approve. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Then motion carries.
I make a motion that we read
Resolution 2016-7 for the third and final reading, and I make a motion that we suspend the rules and have the motion read 2016-7 for the third and final reading. By title only, yes.
Second.
The motion is second to suspend the rules. Where are we at? Suspend the rules?
Yes.
Suspend the rules and have ordinance number 2016-7 read by title only. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Ordinance number 2016-7, an ordinance for broadband and community development for the city of Winchester.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been motion and seconded to approve the ordinance. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Item D, ordinance 50.11, abandoned or unattended appliances. I think you have this in your packet. It is not that I want to actually start picking up appliances, it's that I want to stop picking up appliances. As far as if you're privy to that, there's an ordinance 50-11 and 50.11 that says people can put their used white goods on the street corner on the right of way and we would come pick them up. However, it does cost the city to dispose of those. It's kind of an unused program. It's not, people don't widely use it, and if they do, I think people come and pick them up for free because they can sell them and make money. So it's just kind of one of those ordinances that's out there, and just maybe clean it up. Any thoughts?
Pick a lot of it up, right? You pick any of it up. You know, there's guys around. I know around town. You put a refrigerator out there.
I just leave it like it is. Normally, you don't put out. It's kind of a problem. Yeah. Then we go for it.
You'll let us know if it becomes a problem, right?
Well, it won't suck here, indeed.
So that's on.
I guess I'm wondering though, if you don't want to pick them up, and if we're not picking them up, why don't we just say you can't right. set it out there?
But then you that's want to pass that ordinance.
That's yeah. what this ordinance is about.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess. I mean, I guess I'm thinking, why don't we just say you can't?
That's what the ordinance
says. Let's say I set it out there and it sits for 2 or 3 days because a snowstorm comes through. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So
that's why I put it on here, because that's exactly what I want, or what I want to bring to your attention.
I guess I just don't want somebody leaving them set out there.
And they could. The ordinance says you're not allowed right. to leave it past 24 hours. Right,
so.
And then you get cited, and it still sits there.
Do you guys see a lot of them sitting around anywhere?
No.
I would just leave it like it is for now. Unless they come to us and say that they're constantly seeing one scene around. I agree with Mo. There are a lot of people that go around and scrap. I mean, not a lot of people. Yeah, so if somebody puts it out there, somebody's going to come by and get it. Now, if for some reason it becomes an issue, let us know and we can work on the ordinance.
Okay. Is there a motion to take? Or a motion to do nothing?
Oh, yeah. I make a motion to do nothing to the ordinance for now.
Okay. Well, I will say one thing. I think I might not have read it close enough. I think you, even if you want to do this ordinance, you still want to keep number G in your ordinance.
Okay. Which is what?
Which is appliances may not be left at the curbside collection point or any point on the street for more than 24 hours. I think you want to keep that no matter what.
Most of the habits don't leave it the way it is yeah. now, so it's all covered.
Let you guys look at too. We're not licensed to deal with Freon.
Right. Well, there's a motion and a second.
But you still
come back to the 24 hours.
You don't want
to. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I oppose. Same sign. There being none, let's move on to item E, resolution to request abandoned property.
Is that tax abatement?
Yeah, no. Resolution to request abandoned property from the county.
I think we did that.
Oh,
we did that when we were talking right. about it. Sorry.
All right, so we are now on to item F, Tax Abatement Committee. I'm looking for one or two council members, maybe one or two laypersons, to meet periodically to review any abatement applications, review financials, and make recommendations to this body, the full city council. Do I have any volunteers from the city council to serve on a tax abatement committee?
I will do it. Nobody else wants to.
Wonderful.
And do you want to go? Do you guys want to go? He said he'd do it.
Mullen missing, or I'm sorry, Benny's missing, and we'll find some layperson or two, and we'll form a committee. Thank you. Augusta Consulting Report.
Okay. Get my knees cracking. Well, I just want to give an update. Brad can interject, please, at any point you would like. These are in no particular order. Again, I talk to the mayor frequently, probably 3 or 4 times a week at least, and then bring him up to speed as to what we're involved in, which is a lot. Again, no particular order. I had worked with Meeks. He contacted the Acton Land Surveyors on Jim and Jarrett's behalf at Omega Enterprises down on Cable Street. They had a large issue of backing their big rigs into the loading dock. Jimmy Jarrett and his father gave the city some property years ago, and they needed some of that area in which to swing those big rigs around. The property owner there had kind of moved some large rocks in the way of that swing. So, but at any rate, along with Meek's help, we got Ashton Land Surveyors out that had surveyed the property. Frank and his crew dumped some gravel in the area, which helped. The second part of it now is we need to figure out what we're going to do to complete that and finish that little project up. As the mayor has indicated, we do need this tax abatement committee formed. There will be a tax abatement application for you folks to consider, I would guess within the next week or so. It is being looked at now, and when we present it to the tax abatement committee, it will show that the monies the company would save because of the abatement and the monies the city would receive during that same period of abatement. So it really is an economic development tool that can work if it's not abused and it's done correctly. And I will tell you, and this is a strange thing to say, and I say it to my own Chamber of Commerce in Delaware County, I don't like abatements. I don't like that kind of thing. I think it whipsaws communities to community and state to state. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody down the street is doing something to take business from here, then I want to do a little bit more to keep business in Winchester or bring business to Winchester. And that's a part of the abatement process. As I walk the town square many times, I hear a lot of comments from a lot of people about a lot of different subjects, as you can imagine. One thing I heard as often as anything was handicap ramps in the two areas that now have them. It was a quick fix. The mayor and I discussed it along with the business owners that brought to my attention. Called Frank. Frank procured bids. He got it done quickly. And if you haven't saw them, I think he's done an excellent job. They're striped, they look good, and they serve a great purpose. So, I've already reached out to Frank to thank him, but he did a great job and a quick job. There is also some consideration being given and being discussed about reconfiguring some parking areas from parallel parking to diagonal parking on West Franklin Street in front of Villages. Now, we looked at
And I initially thought that it was gonna be a significant and major project. And as it turns out, those squares of concrete are cut. The existing trees could be worked right into the parking scheme. And that could be done. It could be done very reasonably and create another half a dozen or so parking spots in that area. That hasn't been decided yet, but it is being discussed, and I want to bring that to your attention. And Mr. Stanley has just left. Oh, there's Mr. Stanley. I did have occasion to have some folks reach out who were interested in looking at the property. I contacted Robert and his wife, and they were kind enough to meet me last week. I went through the property from top to bottom, and there is a tremendous amount of work to be done. There is a lot of expense to bring it to where it needs to be. I'm certainly no architect, but the building itself looks solid and sound. The interior, I think it's got a rather new roof on it. So I think there's a lot of possibilities, and so does the person who contacted me and asked us to reach out. So hopefully within the week we'll have some interest. They want to go in and look at the building. So we'll see how that transpires, but I think that's going to happen within about a week.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
So could somebody buy that building and then just do nothing with it, let it set and deteriorate, or would they have an obligation to have to bring it to you?
Well, I can't stand here and tell you they have to fix it up or they can buy it and let it set. I think they probably could, but I don't know why anybody would want to invest money into anything just to let it set. They got they're reading, they're looking at
it. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. And I don't recall the gentleman's name, I'm sorry. It's the building, it's got apartments above it. It's adjacent to the Edward Jones investment. And it's for sale. He invited me to go look at the property. I have not yet done it yet. Here again, there was interest. I'm not sure there is now, but there was an interest at one time, and I was asked to procure a price, and which I did, and that's about all I heard of that. But and Missy, I appreciate very much your focus on blighted areas, because I've got a blighted area next to my home, and I don't like it. And I keep my property nice. And those properties, not those, but that property in particular, needs a lot of work. So anything we can do, especially on the town square, I love the town square. Man, I don't even live here. But it has got so much potential, and those buildings could be refurbished and become very handsome buildings, I think. Very marketable. Today, I spent some time talking with Meek's father, Tom, and Meek's regarding the old Sunoco station. There are several interested parties looking to acquire the property. There are some reasons why they haven't done it so far. We're trying to determine exactly what was done to the property, when it was done, what's there, what was removed, the remediation that still needs to take place potentially on the property. I'm telling you, Tom has got a file probably at least a foot high from 1992 forward, and it details everything. But I was studying that today, and I found some information that I think might help clear the whole thing up and open the door for that thing being sold and repurposed. That's something that's taking place. Also, we're into some discussions with the owner of Ross Mold, Lauren Frost. He owns several properties around town. The one that is being discussed and looked at is on. Base Road, is that correct?
Yeah, out there by Greenville.
Right. And anyway, there's a long pole type building, and then there's a manufacturing facility that's still got machinery in it. Looked like somebody left for lunch and just didn't come back. Full of machines, the desk are full of paperwork. They just left town. There's a manufacturing organization who may be interested in obtaining the property. So we're working with Mr. Ross's agent, Tom Flickinger, out of Fort Wayne, I believe it is, Brad?
Pennsylvania,
that's correct. Yes. I'm sorry. And anyway, there is work being done to fill that place up with manufacturing equipment and create.
Have you turned that building? Have you seen inside that building?
Yes.
Done to it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Listen, it's a building that's got potential. Frankly, the equipment, even though it's outdated, there are some things that's in there that is got some value. I think that's probably going to another buyer, but nevertheless, there's interest in the building, and I do believe that will happen. I do believe that will happen, and here again, before the end of the year, I'm hopeful that the mayor's direction, that we're hopeful that that will be full manufacturer equipment and create a very good paying job. So that's my report. If there's any questions, I'm glad to have them. And by the way, you all should have my phone number. I'm here several days a week. In and out. But if you have a concern or a question, please call me and we'll make time to sit and talk about what I'm going to talk about. You glad to do it? Okay?
I have permission to be excused. I have to go get some medicine. Sure.
Yeah. I can't believe I've killed those things. I'll see if I want to get
Okay, next item is the gateway update. I gave an update at the Redevelopment Commission on Thursday night. And basically, and Bill did a good job of reporting on that in Saturday's paper. So basically, we need to put a rating on the contractor to replace the plans and by per NDOT standards. Once NDOT signs off of it, we can change the design and bring it all back in so it's more manageable. That's the gist of it. Do you want any more information on that?
Nope.
No. Then I think we'll move into clerk treasurer's report.
Okay. The end of the month account for payable vouchers, $229,864.31. April 1st to the 13th, $161,576.75. Payroll, $102,516. Total accounts payable boxes, $493,957.06. Any questions?
Mayor's report. I asked
you. You need a print of those vouchers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm making a motion with you.
Thank you, Nick. The motion and second to approve the claims. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Now, I'm just so excited to get my mayor's report. And I'll make it very brief. I've asked the street department to pull some numbers on the dumpsters that have been used so far at the street department and calendar year 2016. Total number of dumpsters used is 15. as compared to 2015 numbers at this time. There were 37. So we have cut the amount of dumpsters in more than half by regulating those dumpsters. The total numbers of citizens using the dumpsters in February is 14 citizens. March was 27, and this past Saturday we had 16 individuals use those dumpsters. So if you take a dumpster, dumping a dumpster is $350, and you can see right away that we have saved about $7,000, if my math is right, so far this year as compared to last year, just by a simple regulation of the dumpsters. When I first came in, the sign out front was malfunctioning, so I asked to have it turned off. We're going to have a switch installed contact Daktronics to be able to turn that sign back on, be able to manage it, and just basically put on there City Hall with an arrow turning back this way so people know where City Hall is. The pool is going to get filled in the next couple of weeks with water and chemical. Well, I didn't want anybody to think otherwise. It's going to be filled with anything else. I'm going to go to IAC training for city management on April 28th and 29th. And with that, I move to close, to adjourn. We are
We need to figure that one out.
I don't know.
What are you going to do? Look at the cover.